In one teaching, it's actually a fairly short one, the Buddha described the mind as luminous, radiant. He called it, in Pali, he said, Pabbasara Citta. Citta is the Pali word for mind. Although it's kind of mind and heart. There's not a distinction made in that language. And Pabbasara means brightly shining, literally. Sometimes that's just translated as luminous or radiant. So this is the nature of the mind, but that this nature, this true nature, you could say, is obscured by what he described in that teaching as visiting kilesas, is the Pali word, gets translated as defilement, although I think that's not a good translation, but visiting energies that obscure this radiance, this inherent luminosity, you could say, or purity. I may have referenced this teaching already on this retreat. I don't recall if I did. But it's an important thing to be reminded of. Because much of the time what we see are the things that seem to obscure. We don't feel or see or touch that luminosity all the time. Often it seems to be obscured by all kinds of things, by the visiting energies of the hindrances, which are by restlessness and worry and doubt and wanting mind and resisting mind and doubting mind and dull, sleepy mind and these different manifestations of these visiting energies of greed, hatred, and delusion, you could say, show up in all kinds of ways. And sometimes it seems like that's what we see in this. We don't even have a sense for this Pabbasara Citta, the luminous mind. And so in some ways the practice is this process of reconnecting with that, seeing through past these obscurations, these cloudings, revealing what's already there. So from this perspective then we're not getting something we do not already have. And we're not going somewhere other than where we are right now. In the section in this discourse that we've been referencing, the Satipatthana Sutta, that is the instructions for meditation, for insight or vipassana meditation, in a way, I feel like it's one of the most profound teachings, instructions in this sutta. It's one of the shortest and simplest. And we've touched on this somewhat directly and also indirectly in so many ways. But because of its value and direct practical application, I want to just say a little bit more about it this morning. So in this third foundation establishment of mindfulness, citta nupassana, that same citta as the pabhasara citta, the luminous mind, we're given instructions to kind of get a sense for the weather, but in a particular way. So we're initially told to notice if the mind is affected by these energies of greed, aversion, ignorance or delusion, wanting, grasping, the different ways that this energy of that we often call greed. The energy of resistance or ill will, and the energy of confusion or delusion. It says one knows the mind is affected by desire, lust, craving, grasping, and one knows the mind that is not affected by this. So equal weight given there. We know when it's there and we know when it's not there. And the same for the mind of ill will or resistance or aversion. We know the mind affected by this and we know the mind that is not affected by it. The mind that is affected by delusion, confusion, ignorance, and the mind that is not. So that's interesting, this sense that awareness can see both of these. So it points to the fact that function of mind, mindfulness, is able to even see the presence of a mind that is deluded, confused. So it must not be deluded or confused, or wouldn't be able to see that. Like a step back. One knows a mind that is affected by restlessness, agitation. A mind that's not affected by this. A mind that is affected by dullness. And a mind that is unaffected. The presence or absence. One knows a mind that is great and expansive. One knows a mind that is narrow and constricted. One knows a mind that is calm and concentrated. One knows a mind that is not collected, calm, concentrated. One knows a mind that is liberated. One knows a mind that is not liberated. And so there's this one thing that's really very important to notice in this teaching and these instructions is it does not say start struggling with the way things are. It doesn't say try to fix it when it's not the way you think it should be or when you notice the presence of these confusions or the mind that is caught in wanting. It doesn't say start grappling and fighting with that. Make it into a problem. Go into battle with it. Those words are not there. We're never told to do this. Start fighting with your mind. Work yourself up into a state. But often we do. It just says, no, it's like this. No, these things are present. No, when they're not present. And when we have this attitude and this approach, we can release struggle in just like that. There was a time some years ago where I was doing a self-retreat at my home. And my mind was not doing what I wanted. I wanted it to be calm and concentrated and peaceful, but it was agitated and restless. And I didn't like it. It's unpleasant, usually. And I found myself in this internal... There was a part of me that knew, okay, but I was this internal struggle. And then I remembered this teaching. Oh, this, the mind is affected by this. It's like this. And there was this stepping back and this release. And I went from problem to no problem. Just in a second. And it didn't mean that the mind became calm and concentrated. That wasn't the shift. But the struggle released. So you might bring this reflection to mind over the course of the day as we meet our experience. That any time if you notice that you seem to be in a state of struggle, of grappling with your experience, notice that. Oh, this is the mind that is grappling. Take that step back. Notice, oh, this is the mind that is agitated. Ask the question, how am I relating to my experience in this moment? And just in that looking, just in that asking, we have this possibility to open up the space where we see, oh, it's like this now. And it may not be pleasant, and it may be difficult, but it's okay, it's workable. It changes it immediately into something that's workable. And that possibility is always there. We get completely caught up in something. An old pattern of feelings of lack of self-worth and caught in feelings of that there's something wrong with us or whatever it might be. And in that stepping back, oh, this energy is present here, this wanting it to be different, this wanting something to go away. No, it's like this. And there's suddenly, this opens up the possibility for accepting the truth of things rather than fighting with it. And struggle can fall away just in that moment. And there's a chance then that we might get a sense, the flavor, the fragrance of the luminous mind that is always there. that's already free, because it's never been and cannot be any other way. So even if the obscurations, the clouds, come a lot, we get a sense, oh, but the sun is there. It's always there. So then we can settle back . We let life unfold, this flow of our life, this movement. It's like sitting by a stream or river. So many things there. Leaves and bubbles and little animals swimming around and rocks and stones at the bottom of the stream and waves and ripples. Sensations, the breath, thoughts, moods, images, sights, sounds. Just flowing on. Difficult mind states, unpleasant experiences. Joy, happiness, bliss, sorrow, sadness, depression. Wanting, not wanting. Liking, not liking. Calm, ease, agitation, restlessness. It's like this. We can know that and relax. So then we use these tools we've been discovering, developing. Times when we direct the focus onto the breath or the body or perhaps some other point of reference, some other gentle anchor to give us a starting point, a place to begin, a place to come back to. And other times we let that go, that direction, and we settle into a more choiceless awareness that just meets whatever arises with care and tenderness. Remembering that we can always start again, and that in any moment we can let go of struggle. That's always a possibility.